Welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast, where business leaders come to share their advice and journeys to success with existing and emerging leaders of America. Join us as we delve into the minds of these accomplished individuals, uncovering the strategies and insights that have propelled them to the top. Whether you're an established leader or an emerging force in the business world, this podcast is your go-to source for the knowledge and inspiration needed to navigate the dynamic landscape of American business. Now, here's your host, Dylan Bloyd.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast. Our guest today is not only a giant in the realms of sales and leadership, standing at an impressive 6'8", but he's also a seasoned motivational speaker, author, and sales expert. In the late 90s, he played a pivotal role in building the seminar division for none other than Tony Robbins, quickly becoming the number one performer, changing the game for selling within the Robbins organization. For the past 25 years, he's been a sought-after keynote speaker, but his journey hasn't been without challenges. From a two-year battle with chemotherapy between 2017 and 2019 to emerging stronger on the other side, he's faced adversity head-on. Today, our guest is a sales director for Body Balance System, bringing his wealth of experience to health and wellness industry as the creator of the virtual video-based interactive course, Life Skills for Success. He's on a mission to empower young people with the skills they need for a successful life. Get ready for an insightful conversation as we dive into leadership, sales, personal development, and the extraordinary journey of our guest. Please join me in welcoming Dan Lear.
Wow, that's quite an intro. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I've been watching some of your live speaking engagements, so I figured I had to match the intensity.
Right on. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. All right, Dan. Well, if you could please give us an intro on yourself and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So currently I'm the director of sales for a company called Body Balance System in Las Vegas. And we're a technology company that sells red light therapy technology. So right now in the health and wellness industry, red light technology or red light therapy is one of the most powerful and the most sought after modalities because it's non-invasive and there's no side effects and the results are incredible. So we make the industry's leading red light therapy bed. And so what that looks like is what most of them look like, if you will. If you look like a tanning bed, and they basically just changed it so it's red light. But Unfortunately, those type of beds don't work because the red lights, unlike UV lights, have to be very close to your body. So when you see those tanning bed designs out there, that's a more of a psychosomatic type of, of therapy because nothing's really happening on the top of your body. But our bed is designed for red light therapy. It's got a zero gravity bottom and the top canopy comes down. Unlike a tanning bed, it comes from the end of the bed and it comes down up on, up on you and lays on your chest and over your face. So it's a canopy that comes up and down. And so we're doing incredible with it. We just opened up a big account called Canyon Ranch, which is one of the top wellness centers in the U.S. They've got five or six locations. We just sent a bed out to Tucson, went out to Fort Worth, and we'll be doing the rest of their locations as well. Here in Vegas, we've got our red light therapy bed. It's called the Ovation ULT. It's at the Vidara Spa, the Aria Spa. We have one going in the Bellagio and the Park MGM Spa. And early in 2024, we're going into the Red Rock Resort Spa and the Green Valley Ranch Spa. If you're not around Vegas, you probably don't know what those are, but those are very nice casinos that are off the strip.
Right.
So anyhow, yep, that's what I'm doing now. And so we are looking to disrupt the market. And I'm really, you know, passionate about health as a result of my background and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So having a good time, meeting some new people and doing some good things out there to help people heal.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like you guys are just about everywhere over there now.
We're working on it, man. We're working on it.
For sure. All right. So kind of getting into your previous background, your time working with Tony Robbins, and that must have been a very significant experience. How did your role shape your understanding of sales, leadership, and personal development?
Yeah, good question. And it was an incredible experience. I wouldn't be truthful if I didn't say it didn't change my life, being in that environment. I mean, I felt like when I got there, I was mentally strong and mentally tough just because of the way I was brought up and my sports background and whatnot. I felt like I had the edge there. And, you know, I played college basketball, won two straight national titles. And of course, when you're playing sports, there's always adversities and pushing through to success. So I felt like I really had a good mindset. But when I went there, you know, you're talking about a whole different ballgame where you've got, you know, 10 people, including myself, that were essentially living on the road in this environment that was, you know, always upbeat, no excuses, you know, overcome, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And so what we were responsible for is selling tickets to Tony Robbins' seminars. He had a one-day business seminar called Strategic Influence, and we would sell tickets to that event. Now, this is pre-internet because there was no internet back then, so we actually had to go talk to people. So our job our job was to go into companies. So like, for instance, we would go to New York City. We would be there for about 12 weeks. And myself and 9 or 10 or 11, 12 other people would be in that market. And we would be giving free, if you will, complimentary peak performance workshops for companies, anybody who was in sales, car dealerships, real estate, you know, finance, anybody in commission sales, mortgage. And so we would go in there. So for instance, like a mortgage company, let's say they have their morning, their weekly meetings on Monday mornings at 8. So we would just book ourselves into that meeting. Because every sales manager gets tired of doing their morning meeting because, you know, they're doing it every week. So, hey, yeah, come in. We got a pinch hitter. The guy's the top performance guy from Robbins. Come on in. And so we would go in there and do a 30 to 45 minute complimentary presentation based on what that sales manager or sales leader wanted their people to get better at, whether it was prospecting, overcoming adversity, overcoming objections, goal setting, attitude, anything like that. And then at the end, we would sell tickets to his live event in that city. So if we were in New York, obviously, we were selling tickets to go see Tony Robbins at Madison Square Garden or the Javits Center. We were there multiple times. And so we were collecting cash, checks, credit cards, and on the spot. And if you didn't close that day, you weren't going to get, you weren't going to sell a ticket. And we were on 100% commission.
Wow.
So it was an incredible experience. Most people lasted about 18 months, if they lasted at all, because it was so challenging. I was there for 6 years. And I did that with intention, because when I got the job, I was about to be a father. I had my wife come out with me, and she traveled with me. So like literally every 2 to 3 months, we would move to a different city. And so pretty soon I had a little son, and we were doing the same thing. And I just realized that I didn't want to get off the road till I was ready, meaning I had a bunch of money in the bank, and I had my skills to where I wanted to go. So, you know, I stayed for 6 years, and when my son was, my daughter was born as well. And then when my son was ready to go to kindergarten, I'm like, nah, I'm not doing the homeschool thing and traveling across the country. That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
So we departed, left Robbins. He gave me an incredible severance package.
Awesome.
Or whatever kind of package you call that for, for good work.
Yes.
And we started, I started my life out in South Bay, California, which is like Hermosa Beach, Redondo Beach, Manhattan Beach, which is a nice area out there. And I live in Vegas now. So anyway, that it was an incredible experience. I learned a whole lot. Being around him was incredible. After the first year and a half, I became a sales leader, or what we call the manager. So I would hire and train all of the new field sales reps. So if someone came on board and wanted to get interviewed, I would interview them, hire them or not, and then I would train them so they could go out and speak and sell tickets. And so we had two different teams that were selling across the country. One was selling tickets for the one-day event, and the other team was selling tickets for the three-day, what's called the UPW, which is Unleash the Power Within. That's the Firewalk event. And so I was managing both of those teams across the country. So my life was really wild. So in 6 years with Tony Robbins, I lived in 30 cities. And so it was just wild. You go into a corporate, we'd go to a corporate condo or a corporate apartment that was fully furnished. We do our duty there for 2 to 3 months, sell the tickets, fill the venue, go to the next city. So that was wild.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Almost militaristic type, but even faster, moving faster. Yeah.
It was crazy. So, after the event, let's say, for instance, like we did an event in New York City, Tony would do the full day event. Then the kind of the procedure was we'd have a big dinner together where he would address every one of the teammates on things that they could do better or some shortcomings. And prior to that meeting, I would be the guy that would go up to his suite and kind of debrief him on the cycle. The cycle, which was what we called our 2 to 3 month selling cycle in that city. So I would debrief him on who's doing what I perceived their challenges were, and then he would address them at the dinner, and that's how things rolled. So
that's awesome.
It was a great event, learned a whole lot, and set myself up for success as I launched my career after Tony Robbins.
Right. Do you keep in contact with them at all still?
No, I mean, I can get to him if I need to, type right. thing. But you know, he's like a corporate rock star. So
yeah, it's always it's, busy.
He's got guys around him, people around him. It's right. it's ridiculous.
So. Yeah.
I'm obviously still friendly with him, left in good graces, and he's a great dude.
Thank you for sharing that. That is really, really
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So going through the 2 years of chemo in 2017 and 2019 is undoubtedly a challenging experience. How did this period impact your perspective on life, leadership, and success, and what lessons did you draw from it?
Man, oh man, I think we could do a whole podcast on that. Yeah. But and if I could summarize that, it's just like, you know, you never think that you're going to get something like that. You know, mm-hmm. I was a healthy guy. I mean, healthy is as far as working out. Now, yeah. food-wise, I thought I was healthy, but I would, you know, I was drinking some sodas and things like that. And
yeah.
eating the regular food that, you know, the stuff with all the processed food. But anyway, long story short, 2000 and probably about 2014 or 15, I just started feeling awkward. I mean, I just wasn't feeling right. I was tired, sluggish. And I started going to doctors here in Las Vegas. And the word in the street in Vegas is, if you need something done that's serious, you need to get out of Vegas because our medical practitioners are not great.
Gotcha.
So I never really ran into that because I moved here in 2003 and I never had any serious problems, but you know, I found out very quickly. So essentially they were telling me I had congestive heart failure and I was like, well, what do you mean? You know, I've always been in great shape. Well, he said, oh, you must not exercise. I'm like, oh, I sure do. Oh, it must be genetic. No, it's not. Oh, there was nothing that made sense. And you know, I'm a 6'8" guy. I'm thin, I'm fit, and it doesn't look right. I mean, it's not the right profile that you say, hey, this guy's got congestive heart failure, right? Mm-hmm. So it didn't make any sense. And they just said, they didn't have any answers for me. They literally were going to let me die.
Wow.
So I called the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota after 2 years of going to specialists. It was just crazy.
Wow.
So I reached a point where, I mean, I knew I was going to die or not. And so I was just like, okay, I'm going to take this last step, last ditch effort after 2 years and go to the Mayo Clinic and see if they can find something out. So that's what I did. I went up there and I was blessed to, the guy that helped me was actually one of the, probably the top 5 or 10 people in the world on this disease called amyloidosis. And it's the disease that I had, but I didn't know that I had.
Yeah.
So anyway, he looks at me and he says, hey, I think I know what you have, but I got to prove it clinically. So give me a few days. And he's running me through all these tests. And bottom line, he says, yes, you have this disease called amyloidosis. Now, I don't know about you, but I had never heard about that disease.
No. Yeah.
And didn't know anything about it. But it's a blood disease. And it resonates from your bone marrow. And so what happens is your bone marrow creates certain proteins that go out into your body. And they're building blocks of your body. Well, some of the proteins that were made in my bone marrow were faulty. They weren't, they're called, what was the name for it? They called misfolded. Hmm. So for the sake of the illustration, we'll just say that when proteins come out, they come in various shapes, like circles or squares or whatever, even though that's not necessarily true, but just for the sake of the illustration. Right. When some of my proteins came out of my bone marrow, they were circles and squares, but then there were some squiggly lines, which don't fit anywhere. They were rogue proteins that essentially were just, they were worthless.
Yeah.
The problem was, and everybody has them, and they have the internal capabilities to dispose of these proteins that aren't functional. But my body, they were making too many of them. And so, you know, which is not really a problem, but they were non-biodegradable and they were, how do you want to call it? They didn't go away is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
They didn't go away. So they're floating around in my system, which is not a bad thing either. But the problem is that those proteins are sticky. And so those proteins stick onto your organs and they start to accumulate. So they had stuck onto my heart, specifically the bottom half, and they started to basically create a thick layer around the bottom of my heart and then squeeze it and cause my heart not to be able to expand and contract properly. That's the congestive heart failure. Well, two things happened. When I found out what I had, I found out that I had something. So I was excited that, oh my God, I'm diagnosed. So now I can actually work on finding a way to win, because I've always, if I had a goal in my head and I was committed, I always hit it. Right. So like, imagine if you're in sales and your sales manager says, go sell. but you don't have a goal, you don't have a target, you don't have a number, you know, you're kind of lost, right?
Yeah.
But that's what I was. I was trying to combat something that I didn't know what I had. So I was eating well, I was drinking all these drinks and trying to figure out what I was doing, and nothing
still
worked.
Feeling bad. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just dying. So when I found out that what I had, my wife and I, after I got diagnosed, we went downstairs and we had some lunch or dinner, and I had a beer and celebrated, and because I felt now I have a goal and now I can go after it.
Heck yeah.
And that was what I found out afterwards, though, is that the numbers in regards to amyloidosis, it's a very rare disease, only 4,000 cases worldwide per year.
Oh, man.
And the numbers say that those who get diagnosed with amyloidosis die within the first 12 months.
Oh, 40%
of them. 40% of them. So the numbers were not good, but, you know, it was better than the other way around.
Yes.
I mean, you know, could have been 80-20, whatever. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is, I did the chemo. I was on a study as well, but I really believe in my heart. I believe in my heart of hearts, and I think that other people would agree, and maybe even some of the doctors, is that my mindset is what caused me to live. Now, obviously, the chemo helped me, but I believe it's more of the mindset and believing that you're going to heal, believing that your body's going to respond. And so I did a series of exercises, some mental exercises that I created for myself to cause me to believe that I was going to make it. So, you know, here we are, 2023. I stopped my chemotherapy in 2019. I'm still on a drug, a maintenance drug, but it's non-toxic. So I'm doing well. So I go to Mayo Clinic every quarter, get my blood drawn, check on, you know, some of the measurements for my heart. And, you know, all is well. I mean, I still have congestive heart failure, but you would never know it if you saw me.
Right.
I play in a pickleball league. I'm in the gym. You know, I can't do the things I used to do. I'm not able to play basketball. I'm not able to exert myself to a higher level. But I'll tell you the difference. Like, if before I got diagnosed, it got so bad where after I got out, I was still doing keynote talks. I was doing keynote talks all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I would land and I had a bag that I would carry. That I would not carry, that I would wheel behind me. And then on that bag that I wheeled behind me, I would have a garment bag on top of that as well. But it was light. I was only going for a day trip, so or a day or two, it was real quick. So, but I literally could not make it from the airplane out of Skywalk, or whatever that thing's called, to the airport, because it's a, you know, that's a little bit of a gradient that goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't make it ever. So I always would have to stop, take a rest, and then get to the top. And then I could walk slowly once I got to the top, and I was on an even keel.
Right.
So just crazy, crazy stuff. Right. But, you know, here I am now, and, you know, I'm walking fine. And, you know, one of my good friends he coaches for the Saints now, but he was with the Minnesota Vikings, and I went out, had me out to a game, and I was sitting with his wife and my wife down by the field, and I literally got up and I could go up all the stairs all the way to the top without stopping. I mean, it's just, you know, that was a couple of years ago. Even I'm probably even better now.
Yeah.
So it's great to see the progress.
Can't
do the things I used to do, but you know, when you're in that position where you think you're going to die and you can't walk, you'll check the box and say, mm-hmm. I'll take that trade any day.
You right.
know, you'll take that trade where I can just walk and, you know, do light trail walking or whatever versus passing away. So anyway, I feel very blessed. I feel great. You know, which probably has a big impact on who I am today. You asked me how it changed me. I tell you what, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And that sounds so cliche, but I was always a hard driving person, you know, goal setting, no excuses. And I got that from my college basketball career and then from Tony Robbins. After I got this diagnosis and I went through the chemo, I just became feel like a different type of person. I'm still driven. I don't have any excuses for me, but I really see other people differently. How do I want to say it? Much more empathetic, much more understanding. I'm a kinder, nicer person. I understand that people go through issues and not everybody has the same mindset that I do, can overcome obstacles. And so, you know, it really helped me be a better person. No question about it. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I would wish the after effect on everybody. That's
right.
For sure.
No, absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, that's also affected my diet. You know, when I got diagnosed after I had that last beer, I quit drinking. And so stopped drinking any sodas or anything like that. So I, you know, I rarely eat sugar and I have a great diet, mostly you know, whole foods that are cooked. I don't like to go to restaurants because of all the things they put in it. But, right. You know, in my line of work, I have to do that. But, you know, moderation is the key to everything.
Yes.
So when I go out, I go out. And when I stay in, I stay in. And I'm just always really, how do I want to say, just conscious of what I'm eating. And the bottom line is feeling great. And I'm continuing to do that. So feel very blessed.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you found out what you had, and I'm glad that you're doing so great now as well.
Appreciate that.
Something that stuck with me in that story was that you had a celebration with the beer, you know, when you found out, which honestly, that is great because, you know, you find out you have cancer, you find out anything, you can automatically go the other way. I think that's why with sports and being in leadership is so important and so imperative in life, because it teaches you to push through adversity. You know, and if you didn't have those line of work, if you didn't play in sports, you know, there's a chance that you could have went the other way.
There's no question about it. And from that leadership perspective, too, I will tell you this is that, and I've coached a lot of people. I documented my journey on YouTube. It was really for my family, because all my family, of course, is concerned about me. So when I went to my first visit and I got diagnosed, I made a YouTube video and I sent it out to them. And then I made another one and I just posted it on YouTube. And then pretty soon, people started following me, and I had all these amyloidosis people. I would get two or three or four people a month wanting to talk to me because their dad just got diagnosed, their mom just got diagnosed, and they're watching my videos for inspiration. So it came to be an amazing thing. So I've got 2 years of videos on YouTube for amyloidosis, and it became a great thing for other people. But from a leadership perspective, I told my family and all my friends, I'm like, look, I don't want any this, you know, poor Dan type of thing. When you see me, treat me the same way you've always treated me, because I don't want to have that feeling where people are treating me nice and how are you feeling? And I shouldn't say treating me nice, but you know what I mean? Babying me type of thing. And so, because I feel like psychology is 90% of it. So if you're treating me the same, I'm going out and doing the same things. I've got thoughts in my head about healing and what I'm going to be doing when I'm 70. And I don't need you to tell me that you're sad for me, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm not sad for myself.
Exactly.
So I need you to support me, and I need you to just help me with your energy and your positive vibes. And if you can't do that, then just don't see me.
Right. Yeah. No,
so absolutely. That was my message.
Yeah. I love that you shared it with everyone and people can see that, because it's that's important as well. My daughter, my third child out of my five, she actually had a blocked kidney. And
oh my gosh,
on Facebook groups and different videos that we've seen from other people experiencing it helped us in so many ways, even from the diapers that she wore, because her ureter tube was sticking out of her stomach. And so I know I'm going a little information, but yeah, we just having pads help cover that when she's wearing diapers. I mean, just little things like that is so important. And so thank you for sharing that with people and helping that message get out there so people could cope a little easier and know that there is a positive aspect of it and positive side to it, you know, with you surviving and being as healthy as you are right now.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. And good on you, man.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. So you did mention keynote speaking a few times. So being a keynote speaker for 25 years is an impressive feat with all the traveling and everything you've done.
Yeah.
What do you attribute your longevity and success to this role to, and how has your speaking style evolved over the years, especially in a entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas?
Right. Well, I speak all over the world, but I just happen to reside here, which was great for me when I moved here, because obviously it's one of the top probably three or four convention centers in the country. Mm-hmm. So I was able to scoop up some of the low hanging fruit that because I live here or local stuff, but I do speak all over the country. Yeah. I mean, like when I left Tony Robbins, that was my natural thing. Actually, when I left him in 2000, I spent 3 years in LA because that's where I first landed in Hermosa Beach, but that's essentially Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I was doing events for myself. So I took the same model I did for Tony and I did it for myself. I was going into car dealerships, mortgage brokers, and doing the same meeting, but I was selling myself.
Mm-hmm.
So then every 2 months I would do my event, and that's how I made a living for 3 years. And then I was like, you know, I want to shift to keynote speaking just because I just wanted to do something different. So that's when I moved to Vegas and just kind of restarted things. And it was amazing. So, you know, it's allowed me to create so many contacts around the country. And you know, I've spoken with, you know, I don't even know many, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of companies. But how has my style changed? I think you know, as you get older and you do it more, you just become better and more confident and things like that. But I'll tell you, after I got diagnosed, I became better because I was just more present. I think there's an element, I mean, everybody's got an ego and, you know, I'm no different. So when I went out on stage, you know, maybe I had a certain perspective of myself or a perception of myself. I'm not sure, but after I got diagnosed, I walked out on the stage and I felt like I was a different person because I felt like, I don't know, I just felt very vulnerable. And I feel like it opened me up to where people heard me different. And I felt like I was much more effective. So it was amazing. I felt like I got better. And then what happened was in last year, the year before, whenever it happened, when the pandemic happened and they shut down the country, you know, they shut down my business. You know, government literally came in and shut down my business and said, we're going to stop people from traveling. So you don't work. So it was a weird time, as you can remember. And so I started reaching out to my clients, and I was doing virtual talks for free just to stay in front of them because I figured, this will be over in about 6 months and we'll get back to work. Right.
Yeah.
Well, we all know what happened. So I started going out and, you know, people say, well, you know, there were virtual, you know, you could have done virtual. And I did do virtuals, but at the time virtuals were paying 10% of the normal fee. Ooh. So, you know, think about that.
Yeah.
So, and then as time went on, it got up to be half of your normal fee. The only people that were getting full fees on virtuals were celebrities or, you know, number one booksellers or, you know, the people that are charging 150 grand for a keynote. So anyway, that was wild. And so I was consulting for this company called Body Balance here in Las Vegas. They're the technology company that makes the red light therapy products. I did a 90-day contract with them. And after 3 weeks, they offered me a full-time position with equity in the company. I grabbed it because in my mind, I was like, wow, this is awesome. Something stable for me in this weird time. Plus, I can open up more knowledge and learn about new things. I was always interested in health and wellness. Plus, in my health background, I was really interested in this red light therapy stuff. So that's what I've been doing. You know, my goal is we're kicking butt here. You know, my goal is to help this company grow and then sell in the next 24 months. And then I figured I'd go back and keynote talk and talk about health and wellness and all types of things, success and overcoming adversity. So this is where I am right now, and I'm enjoying it. I enjoy helping people. I enjoy the people that own the spas and the small business owners who are looking for a modality to help their patients heal, and also a profit center for them. So I'm enjoying it from a business perspective and a health perspective, and I'm having a good time. So that's what I'm doing currently.
Oh, that's great. You did mention the virtual video, you know, courses and stuff. So you did start a virtual based interactive course, Life Skills for Success, and that targets younger people, correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah. When I just want to clarify that. So when the pandemic happened, there were, you know, they shut down face-to-face stuff, but people were doing virtual keynote talks. So, you know, that's what I was saying. We were getting paid about 10%, but in the virtual space, I have sales training courses. I have all types of things in the virtual space. But during the pandemic, what I did is I put together this course for, I say kid, but not really. I say young leaders. And these are people targeted from the age of like 12 to 14 all the way up to age 22. And so during my keynote career, I would have so many people, and I mean, I can't even count the number. You know, when you're done talking, people want to talk to you, and some people want you to sign that, you know, sign your book and all this kind of stuff. And people would always say to me, man, I wish my daughter was here. I wish my son was here to hear this. This is really amazing stuff. And so what I did was I took my information, my chunks of information, and I just shifted it so it would be applicable to somebody that was in intermediate school, junior high, grade school, and even college. Things like, you know, your belief system, you know, what is your belief system and how does that affect your success? How to get out of a slump, the power of a winning attitude, goal setting, how to build self-confidence, those type of tools, if you will, that I literally teach to corporate America. I put a program together called Life Skills for Young Leaders. And so that is a course that we're actually, we had tested it. And we got some incredible feedback, and then I got busy, and I never ever released it.
Yeah.
So we're on track to release it probably January 1, and I'm really excited about it. So we are releasing it in singular course form. So that means if you wanted to purchase the course on on attitude or mm-hmm. how to have a winning attitude, it's $9.95. And it's a interactive video course that has like five different lessons. So it's approximately an hour long and each lesson is like 10 minutes, you know, something like that. So it's easy to watch, easy to listen to. And then after you've got test questions and you have to pass those test questions and move to the next chapter.
Right.
And so you can track it. You can take notes in the platform. And so it's amazing. So I'm excited to release it. Feel like right now, I mean, man, what's going on right now in our country with our education and whatnot.
Right.
I am so excited to get this released and help these kids have a chance at success, because what's happening right now is these poor children, these poor young people are coming out with not a clue mm-hmm. of how to be successful.
Right. Yeah. How cool is that? I wish I had something like that at that age, you know, and
right?
I'm looking forward for that for my children, you know, to be able to take part in that. So thank you for doing that. That is really cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Trust me, if I had children, if I had young kids, they would be listening to that. So, I mean,
right.
I know what that does. You know, I saw what it did to my kids. And you know, as a parent, you know this more than anybody, is that mm-hmm. your kids listen to you lastly.
Yes.
Right? That when it comes to, you know, you're just my dad, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
What do you know? Yeah.
What do you know?
Right? Exactly.
So it was really wild. And this is really a message for parents. And this is a psychology that was just, it transformed my kids. So, this is who I am, and this is who I am every day. I'm positive. I'm outgoing. I talk, and you know, I'm talking about overcoming adversity. I'm talking about belief system. I'm talking about attitude. And my kids grew up in the environment.
Yeah.
So when I start talking to them about having a winning, they just like, oh, dad, you know, that kind of
thing. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So,
it's ingrained in them now.
Right. Well, what happened was, here's what I did. I literally couldn't get them to discuss with me about, you know, goals and stuff, because like, oh, dad, that's what you always talk about. Mm-hmm. So as they were in the high school, I would have these events in Las Vegas, keynote talk. And during the summer, when they were off, I would pay them to come to my keynote talk and sell books at the back of the room.
Awesome.
And I would pay them $100 each to come to this 1 hour event, which I didn't need help at.
Right.
But I paid them to sit there. And I would pay him and say, hey, look, you guys need to be here in advance to get a feel for the room. And then after, you'll be behind the table selling books and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an incredible strategy for me. And so what happened was, and I tell people this all the time, it's like, you know, if they won't listen to you, pay them to do someone else's courses.
Right.
You know, like you would pay them to do something else, like mm-hmm. chores around the house. And
yeah.
so my kids would go to my events and they're not listening to me, but they're just sitting there.
Right.
And then they would see these people come up to me afterwards and ask for autographs and ask for pictures. And they start going, geez, my dad knows something.
Yeah. Yeah. There's all these people here listening to him. So obviously he knows what he's talking about. Yeah.
And literally my daughter said that to me.
She goes,
you know, dad, it was really weird. You know, there's people come in here. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know anybody. They just come and sit down. They leave and they're all excited and they want to talk to you and they feel better about their life. She goes, it's really amazing.
Yes.
And, but that is what I did for my kids. And as a result of that, you know, it impacted them. So I guess that's my message to parents. Like, you know, don't feel bad when your kids don't want to listen to you, because they never do in regards to self-improvement or things, because you're just the parent.
Yeah.
So if you've got to buy courses or buy them a coach or, you know, you invest in my program, you know, whatever, that is what you need to do. Because I mean, I did that. And I consider myself a human behavior expert, but they wouldn't listen to me around the kitchen table.
Yes. I'm glad you said that because I'm excited for later on. My oldest is only 8, but I'm excited for her when she's older to hear this conversation in particular, because I tell her that I heard a story a while back of an entrepreneur who's younger. I can't remember his name, but he was 10, 11 years old, went over to a friend's house and he noticed that his parents were paying him for chores. And so he runs home and he's excited to ask his parents, can I get paid for chores? And they said, no, we're not going to do that. But instead, you know, we'll pay you to read a book and write a book report for us instead. And we'll pay you that way.
Awesome.
And now he's speaking all over the world. You know, I mean, just completely skyrocketed his career. I mean, he obviously took years, you know, but I mean, just make it a fun way to, or an incentive to learn. So I've been trying to ingrain that in my daughter. Obviously, she's still learning how to read and write. But
absolutely.
But I mean, this is the same concept, what you're saying.
That's powerful. That is powerful. That's a great story. That is an absolute great story.
Thank you. All right. So you know, I feel like we could be talking forever. this has been absolutely great. I did want to ask you, how can listeners connect with you, learn more about your business and your product that you're going to be releasing soon?
Yep. I'll give you a few addresses here. So if there's anybody that's listening to your podcast who knows somebody, or you're looking for some type of a health change and you're looking for a red light therapy bed, you can reach me at dlier, that's D-L-I-E-R, at bodybalancesystem.com, singular. So D-L-I-E-R at bodybalancesystem.com. I'll help you out. And if you're someone who knows people and you're a networker, we actually have a referral program, and we pay people $1,600 for an introduction that leads to a sale. On the personal development side or human behavior side, my website is danlier.com. That's danlier.com. You can go there and you can check out everything. When I do release my new program, Success Strategies for Young Leaders, it will be up there. So it's not available yet. But if you Google me, you will find all types of things. And if my program's out, you'd probably find it there as well. Perfect. So, and then if you'd like to email me, it's dan@danlier.com. So that's how you can reach me.
All right. Perfect. And we'll make sure to have those in the show notes, so it makes it a little bit easier for them as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, of course. All right. So last question before we go. What advice would you give to existing and emerging leaders who are looking to either become leaders themselves or improve as leaders within their organizations?
Great question. Okay, I've got three tools for you for success. Number one is reading. Just like you said before, I'm not a big reader, but if you read just 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes before you go to bed, 10 minutes a day is over an hour a week. That's 52 hours of reading every single year. That's 2 university semesters. Number two, listening to audiobooks or podcasts or YouTube, either one. Back in the day when I was growing up, there was none of that stuff. I mean, now you can listen to, you know, you're feeling down, you can go to YouTube and listen to a motivational speech. Mm-hmm. Do something positive for yourself. Maybe listen to something positive in the morning, but Audible or books, anything, just, you know, listen to something positive. And number three is investing in yourself by going to live events, workshops, or any types of seminars that are going to help you develop your skills. And so that could be a business seminar, but it also could be a relationship seminar. It could be a communication seminar. It could be any type of learning experience that's going to help you expand your knowledge base. So those are my three tools for success: reading 10 minutes a day, at least listening to audio tapes or YouTube to empower your mind. And number three, investing in yourself at live events, workshops, or seminars.